All right, well, welcome, Facebook Live folks, and to our Christmas Eve service here. We have a congregation full of people here celebrating Christmas together. So, Christmas, as I mentioned, Christmas Eve, this is my favorite service of the year, by far. I'm not saying theologically Christmas is more important than Easter or anything like that. I'm just saying this is a really fun service, and it's so good to be with you. I'm so glad that you are here, and I pray that every single one of you is blessed and your Christmas is really enhanced because you came out this evening to share it with us. I would have to say that just as we celebrate holidays, Christmas is probably my favorite holiday celebration. Is that true for how many of you? Raise your hand if you're with me. Not so much, so much? All right, good. Okay, let's say that Christmas is your favorite time of year. Here it is. But I got a question for you. Is life perfect for you right now? Raise your hand if anybody's living a perfect life right now. Are you expecting heaven on earth? And sometimes we do, which leads to a lot of our frustration, a lot of the problems that we have. But no matter how well things are going, how good you have it right now, I know that if you're alive, your life is not without tension and stress and frustration and disappointments. And are there not issues with relationships and with your finances and with your health and things that you've lost, loved ones and dreams and expectations and unfulfilled desires? I mean, it's all of us, isn't it? And so tonight we have good news. God wants to give you a gift out of His Word that will allow you to take all of those problems and all those frustrations and all of your painful experiences and put them someplace so that you'll be able to, with every bit of your suffering that you're going to encounter for the rest of your earthly lives, you're going to be able to put those things in a place where you'll be able to simultaneously experience peace and hope. And so, turning to Romans chapter 8:18, do we not have this printed on a slide, huh? I didn't have that. No. Okay, then you're going to have to either look in your Bible or hear me repeat it over and over and over again. It's a very simple verse, really. It goes like this: for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, which I've just alluded to, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, who was inspired by God, he was an apostle. That means he was sent by God with a message. And so before he ever wrote this down, God had put the thoughts in his mind. So he has God's mindset. He has God's perspective. He, like God, is able to look at our problems and our suffering properly, okay? And so his perspective is inspired by God. And what he says at the beginning of verse 8, for I consider, after he had thought about, he had spent time in prison already, he's going to be executed in a couple of years for his faith. He knows what suffering is all about. He knows what sacrifice, what leaving stuff behind, what frustrated, disappointing dreams that he may have had. He understands what we are going through. And as he mulled that over and processed all of the suffering that human beings experience, he arrived at a godly, truthful, accurate, proper mindset of how to deal with the frustrations and the difficulties of our life. And so he said, look at verse 18, for I consider, and that's a mental word, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, that's what we talked about, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let's read it again. For I consider, this is the way I look at it, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. So a couple of things. Look at the very last couple words there, to us. So who is Paul writing to? And I need to clarify that. And I don't want to dump any cold water on your Christmas, but you're going to enjoy it more if you deal with the truth. And that is that us, the people that he is writing to, his audience, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who, in the context, have received the Spirit of God. They've believed in Jesus. They've had their sins forgiven, washed away, so that the barrier between them and their Creator has been removed. So that's who he's writing to. And when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and you'll hear me say this a million times, you receive Christ, and his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and then you are born from above. You're made into a new creature. You see things differently. Your mind is renewed then by God's own Holy Spirit. And that's who Paul's writing to. So as a preacher tonight, I'm, depending on where you're at, I'm either a salesman, because I want you to come to Christ. I want you to have your sins forgiven. I want you to receive the gift of Jesus. And if you do that, then you'll be able to receive the gift that God's going to reveal to us in this passage as well. So I'm either a salesman to you, or I'm, I guess, a motivational speaker to the saints. To those of you who are Christians, I want to educate you with what the Word says. I want to edify you. I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. I want to equip you. So depending on where you're at spiritually is kind of depending what I'm trying to allow God to accomplish through me, in you, through Paul, through this text tonight. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Do you see your suffering that way? See, the world flip-flops all of that. The world and our flesh, as Paul's been talking about in Romans chapter 7 and verse 8, our flesh looks at our suffering and we want to maximize our suffering. We want to groan and bemoan and grumble and complain. We want other people's sympathy. We want to have a pity party. And you might say, well, I don't do that. And I'd say, yeah, you probably do. I do that. We want to, at worst, do all of that bad stuff. And at best, the flesh, the world says, oh, well, it's the way it is. Nothing's perfect. You can't have heaven on earth. Deal with it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Have a good attitude. Don't worry. Be happy. But deep down in our hearts, and the reason some of this frustration happens is because we do want heaven on earth. We do want perfection. We do want smooth sailing. We do want easy living now. And when things don't go that way, we tend to go to a bad place. And Paul is saying we don't have to do that. We don't have to have little consideration for the future and just try to live for today. And so Paul says, for I consider. And so what? Here's the gift. There's one gift in tonight's message. The gift is this: a new mindset. I got 3 points. They're very simple. The gift he wants us to have is a different way of looking at life and a different way of looking at the problems of life, and to put it into proper perspective and then experience freedom and experience joy. Now, the way to see things the way Paul sees things, the way to have your mind changed and your mind renewed so that you see things accurately and from God's perspective, if you do that, let's say, then you will view things the way Paul does. I consider, my mindset is that the sufferings of this present time, this era of time that we live in between the first and the second comings of Jesus, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glories to be revealed to us. So what he's doing, here's the mindset. Don't just hear me out. In his mind, in God's mind, seeing the whole perspective, there must be a minimization of suffering. Now that does not mean that we dismiss the real difficult things that we are going through. It does not mean that we ignore them or we live in denial. And I will say this to you. If you come to me and you've got a heavy heart, I will say to you, I don't want to minimize your suffering, but eventually, when you're ready for it, I'll give you some good news for hope. But Paul really is minimizing our suffering. Proverbs 25:20 says, God knows about your suffering. God cares about your suffering. Proverbs 25:20, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, you know, these things don't go together, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. So I'm not saying that you don't have problems. I know some of you. I know what you're going through. I know what you have experienced recently. There are people here who have had precious loved ones die, and their hearts are broken, and their hearts are bleeding tonight. So God knows that. He knows that those things are real and they are hard. But listen, how they are interpreted, or where you see them as fitting into the whole jigsaw puzzle of reality, that will determine how you cope with them. And again, it's not just keep your chin up, endure it. It's not just that. God has more than that for us. He will give us the gift of a new mindset. He will make it possible for us to see things because the Holy Spirit will illumine our minds, open our eyes, we'll be able to see the truth, which will set us free, and we'll be able to, in the big perspective, minimize our suffering and maximize the glory. Now, I might have lost you there. What is he talking about with glory? So let's talk about what glory is. Glory, to simplify it, could be looked at this way. The shining forth, or the making visible, putting on display for people to see the true essence or the true nature of something. Biblically, it's almost always talking about God. Years ago, Kim and I saw we needed another car. And we saw a shiny car in a sales lot. We bought it. And driving through an area at night where it is known for deer crossing, we were going the speed limit. Should have been going slower. But we hit a deer, crushed the front end of this shiny new car. And when it was on the lot, you could see its glory. It was beautiful. It just shined forth. The way it was made, all the contour, everything of it was just beautiful. But after it hit the deer, after we hit the deer, the front end, it wasn't so pretty. Okay? So I went out and I picked up all the pieces from the front, the bumper and the grill and the grate and everything. I picked up what I could. I threw it in the trunk, got back in the car, and it drove. It functioned in spite of its flaws. That's the way creation is. If you're interested in this topic, come back Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to dig really deep into the next 5 or 6 verses and really get into what's going on in this world. Why are things the way they are? But here's my point. That car looked glorious. Then it was wrecked. It didn't look glorious anymore. And that's the way life is during the sufferings of this present time, right now, are a result of sin. They're a result of the world getting wrecked, the world getting broken. And now that's the way things are. And Paul wants us to see that the true essence of the way things God were created by God and the way God wants things to look and wants us to look has been marred, but it's going to be restored. And then, as he says at the end, toward the end of the verse, the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, Paul says that this glory that's going to be revealed when Jesus returns, the second advent, listen to these hymns and watch how frequently they refer not just to the first coming of Jesus, but to the second coming of Jesus. We are looking forward to a day when Jesus returns, this is the next big event, as you know, on Jesus' calendar. He is going to come again. It could happen at any moment. And knowing that he is coming and what he promises to happen when he does come, and that is that our bodies will be resurrected, the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are going to be transformed into a glorious resurrection body like Jesus lives in right now. We are going to be raised from the dead. The glory is going to shine from us. And so the new mindset is that when Jesus returns, those who belong to him will be resurrected, transformed, glorified, so that we will become what God originally created us to be, and we will be like Jesus. And then at that time, we will fully and accurately display God's image and God's glory. It's like when I took the car into the shop, left it there for 5 weeks. 5 weeks later, I went back, and it just shined gloriously. That's the way we are going to be. And when that happens, and that's the way we're going to be forever and ever, then we will realize that no matter how much suffering we endure during this short span of life on this earth, and I'm not poo-pooing it, it's real, it's hard. God wants to go through it with you. God wants to show you how to put it into the bigger perspective and to even see that right now it is purposeful. God's using it, not only in our lives, but he's using it as he uses it in us. He lets his glory shine through so that other people see that God is real and God is there and God loves us and God helps us. But in that day, when the glory is maximized, then let's look at a couple other verses. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. These are promises for our citizenship. He's talking to Christians. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again, who will transform the body of our humble state, literally our lowly body, into conformity with the body of his glory, or literally his glorious body, will be like him. How's he going to do that? By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Jesus can do it. Jesus promises to do it. Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christians, this is true. When you're suffering, you got to let the Word of God shape your thinking, give you a different mindset. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, that's his second coming, that's the revelation of this glory. When he is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Now, I know I'm going to get a resurrection body. I know it's going to be this body. But I don't know, am I going to be 30? Am I going to be 18? Am I going to be 64 and look like I look today? Is my beard going to be gray or is it going to be black again? I don't know. We're children of God and it hasn't appeared yet what we will be. But we know, this is the mindset, we know that when he appears, we will be like him. We'll be transformed. We'll be like him. Because we will see him just as he is. In conclusion, I just want to read from 2 Corinthians 4. It's almost the same thing, but it's written, it includes a few more things. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote this about 2 years earlier than he wrote Romans. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man, our physical body, is decaying, we're getting old, we hurt, we suffer, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For moment, listen how he here's his mindset. These present sufferings, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, sinners, you're either a sinner who hasn't had your sin forgiven. That's a sinner. Now, I'm a saint because I've been redeemed by God, who still sins. But the Bible never calls a saint a sinner. Just food for thought. Look for it. See if you can prove me wrong. Paul always says saints. You're the holy ones. You've been saved. You've been forgiven. You've been washed. You're now mine. So there's saints here tonight, like me, who still sin. And there are sinners. If you're here tonight and you've never, if you don't know for sure that you've gone to Jesus and you've had your sins forgiven, you have to receive the first gift from God, and that is Jesus himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's what Christmas is all about. That whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. John 1:12. But as many as received, you got to receive the gift. How many of you are going to get a gift this Christmas? Every single one of you is going to. So, but it can't sit under the tree, and you can't leave it wrapped, or you can't even unwrap it and look at it and say, wow, that's fantastic, and then put it on a shelf and never use it and never experience it. The same is true with the gift of Jesus. But as many as received him, so to believe in Jesus, as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Believing is receiving. It's opening up your heart. It's saying, I have sinned, Father, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross in my place. He paid my penalty. He paid my debt. I need to be reconciled to you in order to have a new mindset where I can put my suffering into its proper perspective and deal with it productively and redemptively. So sinners, receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas. Please, I hope I say something tonight as a salesman that would make you so want a new mindset, so want to put your trials into a different perspective, that you would just come to Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life in him. Saints who sin, this Christmas, I pray that you will receive God's gift of a new mindset. And you'll be able to, when you get pulled down into the depths of despair or depression or just sadness again, hopelessness, that feeling, when you go there, that you would be able to remember what God says and get his mindset. Remember some of these words. And then come out of that place into a place of joy, peace, hope. So, why don't we just take a couple of moments to meditate on what the Apostle Paul says here. For I consider, the mindset is that the sufferings of this present time can be minimized compared to, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us when Jesus comes again. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Do whatever God is impressing upon your heart tonight. If you've never received Jesus, this would be a great time. Or at least pray about it. Say, God, help me. I think there's something here I need. Would you please work on my heart? Would you please keep revealing stuff to me in the days to come? Think about how short this life is. Think about how temporary this present time is. And believe God when he says that there will be a glory revealed at Christ's second coming that will last forever.